Blog Talk Radio.
Hopefully we'll get Rob on the...
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah. Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Got the fellas there looking great, fellas. Let's get it. All except for Robert Fortune. There he is.
Oh, yeah. Let's go. Let's hit it.
Yes, sir. We are now officially in the post-NFL draft week, if you will, gentlemen. So what an amazing week. Had some good chats. Love to see everything, surprises, everything. Aaron acting up. And some awesome tweets from Peyton Manning trying to give some advice to Trevor Lawrence, saying that he should keep playing so he can break his records. The interception record, if you will. So a lot of good stuff, man. So this is what we do. So gentlemen, let's get this party started. JQ, how you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh man, I can't complain. I'm glad when some of this rain move out of here, because good lord, I feel like I'm knowing his arc in a minute the way it's raining.
Right.
But, you know, it's all good. We got a pretty good couple of days of sun. Got off in on Sunday with the boys. Can't really complain. I started track meet on Saturday. You know, that was all day went crazy, but living life, man.
That's what's up.
Living life.
Yeah, I was going to say, man, it has been a crazy, rainy, like, just the past 2 days have been nuts here. So, you know, hope everyone's staying safe out there for sure. I felt the same way, man. Man, we got to definitely start rolling an arc. Your boy was recouping, so it helped me out because the second dose really hit me hard, man. So I don't know. I'm trying to like get back to my my old ways, if you will, too. But I'll be good. So, Rob Ford, what's going on, sir? How you feeling, man?
Man, feeling great, man. No complaints here. No, wife and I went out and played a little tennis this evening, and came back and got a nice asparagus dinner with some baked chicken, potatoes. Yeah, feeling good.
Oh, all the time. Oh man, we had a great little pre-talk conversation with Curtis and Gary. So, gentlemen, how are you guys doing this evening, if you will?
Well, I'm loving being down here in the Bay Area. Weather's beautiful. You know, just enjoying. I love my view from my room. You know. Oh,
here, Curtis, a big backdrop, Gary.
My wife
we
was in
the
meeting.
We could see the video pixelating around your head.
She put this in her background, and it was just left on when I did my Zoom meeting. So I thought, hey, this is cool. Maybe I'll have to do a different one next week. I wouldn't even know how to do the damn thing, so. Yeah.
It looks good. I love it.
I haven't played around with the backdrops yet, too.
Yeah, I got a sign of Alex Burn and I forget in my room. The corner of where the band was with the Grateful Dead band. I got a sign in my room that is the exact same sign again. Yeah. So next week I'll have them display those in the background.
Nice.
Get the feel for this.
Okay. Nice. Well, good stuff, man. Well, like I said, as always, it's good to see you, gentlemen, and Curtis, man, we appreciate your fight, sir. So always, man, keep it up every single day. We're praying for you as always, man. So keep it going. So we got a lot of things to talk about, gentlemen. So without further ado, I know we're kind of pre Cinco de Mayo, all that fun stuff. Again, for the numbers of the show, 404, about to get my number, 424-2559. Chips and salt, by the way. And that's the number to call into the show. Follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And hit us up on the Facebook page. As always, the Talking Sports, or if you put in 12th Man Sports, you will find us. Again, we've been posting. Rob has done an amazing job of completing his official mock draft, if you will. So we'll get ready for the next year, obviously, going into 2022 mock draft. But we got a lot of things to catch up on, gentlemen. So without further ado, I would love for us to kind of talk about our squads. But before we get into that, again, A-Rod, if you will, Aaron Rodgers, stole a little bit of the draft thunder, if you will, talking about his disdain for what the Packers have been doing. So we got to talk. We got to ask this question. What's going to really happen? What's going on with Aaron? I'm really going to say Aaron, but what's going on with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers? And I'm going to start with you, Rob. I mean, how is this saga going to actually play out? Is it really like that he's going to retire, if you will, or is this him, you know, kind of like blowing smoke? Or what do you think actually with this saga, if you will?
Well, I think this is Aaron Rodgers whining like as usual, right? And, you know, I hate that he, you know, took the thunder away from the players on the draft night, right? You know, the story before the draft was about Aaron Rodgers. The story after the draft was about Aaron Rodgers. The story on Friday was about Aaron Rodgers. The story on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday was about Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, I hate that it took luster from these kids that got drafted, right? And like the timing of it. And I'm sure he had everything to do with it. You know, the Packers organization have said they've flown out to Aaron Rodgers' place in California numerous times since the season ended. So why did this come out on the draft season, on the opening of the draft night? And like I said, it just took some of the luster away from the kids in their nights, right? It was all about Aaron Rodgers the entire weekend. And to me, you know, like I said, Aaron Rodgers had something to do with the way that came out. There's no doubt about it, or his agent did on draft night. And so, you know, I hate the, you know, the distaste of the situation and how it came out. But to me, it's about Aaron Rodgers whining. Aaron Rodgers is going to be with the Packers, or he won't be playing at all. There's no, they're not going to trade him to another team. So, I mean, he's going to be with the Packers. And worst case scenario, you know, if I had to say one team that may have a shot at acquiring him in the trade, maybe the Denver Broncos, right? You know, still somewhere in the
49ers.
Still have. I don't see that happening. You know, you just drafted Trey Lance. You know, that's the same kind of situation that he didn't want to be in Green Bay with drafting Jordan Love last year, right? So even though he's a California kid, I can't see him wanting to go to the 49ers. You know, maybe the Raiders, maybe some in Las Vegas, but I don't see it happen. The Rams just traded for Matthew Stafford. And if there's one team on the West Coast that's still got an unsettled quarterback situation, it's the Denver Broncos, even though they're not technically on the coast, but they're a team out west with an unsettled quarterback situation. But also, this is Aaron Rodgers whining as usual, like a little baby. And you know, this is what he does, and he does it and takes away the, you know, the shine off the draft night from the kids. And, but he'll be with the Packers, or he won't be playing at all. Worst case scenario, if he does, he'll be with, I can see a team like Denver or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the whole San Francisco angle, if you're Green Bay, you're not trading Aaron Rodgers to anybody in the NFC. Especially not anybody that's going to be a legit NFC contender. You got to go through them. Even if Jordan Love comes out and plays well, you don't want to see Aaron Rodgers in the 49ers in the playoffs because of that. So I can't see that. I would think it would be probably the Broncos or the Raiders as well from what I read. But the thing about it is that Aaron Rodgers is petty, and we've all come to realize how petty Aaron Rodgers is. Eventually, he said, okay, the last draft, you made it about me when I didn't want it to be about me by trading up to get Jordan Love and not giving the person a phone call. And you talk about all these other things. You know, they talked to Garoppolo before they drafted Trey Lance. And they doubted that before they drafted Justin Fields. So you have a lot of these other organizations that at least give their quarterback the benefit of the doubt. I'm not excusing what he's doing, but I think he said, okay, I got something to go ask this year. So he said, so last year you tried to make it about me and make it be on flattery, and I'm going to make it be about you and be on a flattery. And there was real Robbie was Aaron last year because, you know, Robbie talks about it a lot. Before this past MVP season, he hadn't had a couple good years by his own standards. So they were like, they were ready to turn the page and was like, yeah, you can say what you want, bro. We're going to get your quarterback. And he goes out there and throws 40 touchdowns before the touches. And they're like, oh, well, we were just playing here. And he was like, nah, partner, we're not going to play like that. So that's what it is. They got to find a way to put some level of resolution on that. But I think that's what it was. Another staff over there. Like, I'm the MVP. Now the ball's in my court. But to Rob's point, I think Aaron Steele would owe some of his signing bonus back if he set a play. He's got too much money left on there if he just walk away and retire. Even if he retired, he would owe that money off of that. So he doesn't really have the leverage that he thinks he has. He can make us think about it, but if they are willing to hold tight end, they're going to really force his hand. It's going to come down to how pissed are you? How much money are you willing to give up to not go back to the Green Bay? So it's going to be a theater. Maybe they find a way to get some wine and sit down together and talk it through. But I just can't see them trading that right. I'd be shocked.
Well, for me, it seems like, you know, he's a little spoiled. He's a little sensitive. And he wants everything to be about Aaron. And he's a quarterback. He's a player that proven himself in this league, and he's a Super Bowl champion, and he's all that. But he's also 37 years of age. And, you know, you're there. Make the best of it. He's not going anywhere. They're not going to let him go, in my opinion. I think they'd be foolish to let him go because they were, you know, they're close. You know, they're a team that could be in contention with him, with the team that they have. Stroke his ego, make it about him, get him into training camp. You know, everything's going to be about Aaron. And, you know, playing their game, you know. But he does seem to be one of these, you know, and I think that probably all the players, but especially quarterbacks, you know, I'm sure that every quarterback on every team to some degree feels entitled, you know, as the entitled to the team. But I think he thinks, to me, it seems like he thinks that he's the entitled one, maybe of the league. That's what it seems like to me. Curtis, what do you think?
Well, what I think is that Kurt, two guys, Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson, they got Tom Brady showing up everybody, and his attack is, I'm going to take less money, and I'm going to tell these guys, get me some protection.
Okay.
Give me some people that I can get past some people with. And I think that both Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers, not a good way. I think there's a camp in there that looks at, I'm not giving up any money, you know, and then there's the Brady camp. And the Brady camp is winning when the quarterback wants to give up more money to win and win Super Bowls. And these guys that want to be money drivers are hurting their team. And maybe that's what's going to happen to my Cowboy team and their quarterback.
Yeah. Well, we need help on that, don't we?
Well, sometimes you're the quarterback. You need help.
Mm-hmm.
You can't win these games on your own.
Yeah.
And if you got to give up some money to get that help, that's not a bad idea.
Did you talk about my money, Curtis? What you talking about, man?
yeah.
No, this is good stuff. Good stuff. Well, gentlemen, now that the draft is officially over, we can talk about some top five teams here for some NFL offseason grades here. So, and this is interesting too, because obviously whenever you do a recap, whenever you're looking at stuff from, you know, NFL.com and CBS Sports, and everyone's going to have their different opinions as far as, you know, the top five teams, and maybe you're going to throw your team in there. So we can go back around and, you know, again, there's a couple of themes that you guys probably saw. We know that the draft was pretty deep with wide receivers, so if you're looking for wide receivers, it's pretty good for you. And I think it was kind of deep in some, you know, some cornerbacks, if you will. But, you know, let's talk kind of go back around the room here And I know we were doing some text back and forth with the Cowboys about defense, and it looks like the Cowboys dead draft defense. So we're going to start with Curtis and Gary. Your thoughts as far as that and some teams that you think did pretty well the offseason, if you will.
Well, I'm happy with the Cowboys draft. I don't think they were in the top five in the draft, but for what they needed and what they got out of the draft and their, especially their number one pick, first round pick, I'm really liking their draft. That I can't pronounce the guy.
Michael Parsons is great.
The guy they got out of UCLA, the Osa
Ogurazuwa.
You know, I went back and I looked at watched some of the games that he's played in, and I'm pretty excited about him. So I like the Cowboys draft. I don't put him in the top five, but for the Cowboys, I think it worked out good for him. I think they didn't hurt themselves. I like their that quarterback out of Kentucky. I like him, so I'm happy that they addressed some of the issues that they needed. But as far as teams that I thought did well in the draft, I thought the Chargers did well in the draft. The Titans. I thought the Lions did. The Browns. And I thought the Bears did.
Yeah,
those
are
the teams that I thought.
Yeah.
Sammy Fedoko, I was upset. I wanted him to go with the Falcons, but y'all stabbed him from Stanford. I was like, oh, that was a good pick. So good job.
Well,
you guys making some really strategic picks, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, that's what the Cowboys did. You know what I think the Cowboys did? I think the Cowboys listened to our show. And we talked about defense. So you guys don't know, but the Cowboys probably been listening to us. And they just did some ideas with us. But in the beginning of that draft, it looked like some things were happening with the Cowboys. I know there were some people on the board that the Cowboys wanted, and they got picked up before the Cowboys got there. And then it got up, and they got it, and then the things got serious. But on paper, it really looked good. And I really hope those guys can make impact.
Here it is. JQ, what's to you, sir? And we'll get Lou in a quick second, too.
Yeah, if I was just talking about before the draft in the offseason, I would have said Tampa and Kansas City, just by what they did with Tampa bringing everybody back that were key contributors to that run, being able to bring all those guys back is ridiculous, especially in the salary cap era. And for me, Kansas City, looking and saying, okay, we got Patrick Mahomes destroying the Super Bowl. What can we do to solidify this offensive line? And then go ahead and make a trade for Brown for Ravens and other things they did to fortify that line. So, from New England. So, I really thought those were solid. But, you know, those teams that are being well run and they pulled last year, good roster management, they did it again. I hate to have to say that, but I think Cleveland had a fantastic draft. As I saw them, you know, defensive line going to secondary, making very timely picks right ahead of the Bengals, people that wanted. I got to give a lot of credit, and the Bears as well. You see that they are getting ready to release their left tackle to the South Pass. Maybe they were going to have to do that, so they went and got one of the best offensive linemen that came from Oklahoma State. They got another offensive lineman behind him, and they stopped the Justin Fields nonsense because, hey, they got Andy Dalton. And, yeah, we all know he's not that guy. So at least three of us in this room have now seen it firsthand for their team that Andy Dalton is not that guy. So you got to give them a lot of credit to the Bears as well. For the Bengals, there were some things I liked, there were some things I didn't like. I don't know who the hell drafted the kicker in the fifth round. You put a lot of pressure on that kid now. So the same way that kid had that pressure in Tampa, right? He was picked by the third round, and he sucked. And they had to end up getting rid of him. But we'll see. I just, you know, it's about value. Not that he won't be a good player, but if you do have gotten him in the sixth or seventh round, you pick a fifth round pick, and there was still a lot of confidence for him to go get a kicker. So that lets you tell you how pissed off they were with that part of the special teams right there. But what I thought was going to happen with Chase, with the way they were talking about the offensive line. at, they looked themselves and said, if he has the opportunity to get a generational wide receiver or a generational offensive tackle, which one would we prefer? And Mike Brown loves his shiny toys. He went and got the wide receiver. He's doing everything in his ability to make Joe Burrow more comfortable. When he got the tackle from LSU as well, they picked up Thaddeus Small, that he got cut by Washington. So you see that as a significant game. And I thought they reached a little bit to Jackson Carmen in the second, but then they came behind it. We can hear from Georgia. And later in the draft, they got another offensive line. So they added some competition and some young depth to the offensive line room now in Cincinnati. We'll see if those things pan out. I mean, you could have had, four, five. But if that pans out, with a healthy Joe Mixon and those three wide receivers and healthy Burrow, the offense may be able to do their part. I'm still not sure about the defense. They did pick up a couple edge rushers in the draft, and I thought that was pretty solid.
The side was good.
So, you know, they'll have the ability to be multiple with some of those guys and some of the sub-packages that went out there. They drafted three linebackers last year. So, I mean, there were some things I was encouraged about. It wasn't a home run draft for the Bengals. But there were some picks I thought, you know, like, okay, I can see that. I can actually try to do.
They're hoping that you were so excited with Jamar Chase that you were going to forget about everything else. Like, you got Jamar Chase. They're hoping that you guys are still
Yeah, no. We went one player away. You ain't drafted four to be one player away.
They thought y'all were going to be excited about that. Like, y'all got Chase. Woohoo!
Yeah, hold on. Folks are
excited.
Yeah,
you may think about that now, but when he starts playing, you know what he does.
He's an amazing pick.
It's all about those three offensive linemen they drafted in the draft. They got in the draft. They get Carmen to be the guy. And plus, Jackson Carmen is from Mike.
Yeah, you're right, Gary. Yep.
So I know that played into it. He probably went a little higher up their board because he's a local kid, and he'll get, you know, the kind of like Burrow and Hubbard is also from Cincinnati, guys from Ohio State. So I saw that and was like, okay, I see what you're doing. That didn't always work out. We'll see. But if they get those two of those three to hit to help improve that line, they got a solid foundation for retail offense.
There it is. Good, Rob.
All right, looking at the top five teams in the offseason, I'm going to start with the Chiefs, right? And when you look at what they've done to improve the offensive line, and to me, the difference in – the Chiefs were the best team in the league last season, but they had offensive line issues at the wrong time of the season in the Super Bowl, right? And they went out and fixed it, right? Joe Tooney, they got Orlando Brown. They went out and got Creed Humphrey, one of the best centers in the draft in the second round. They also even got Trey Smith, big interior offensive lineman from Tennessee, and got him in the sixth round.
Great pick.
That was a great steal. Give them some depth and improve that offensive line, right? And then some other moves, Nick Bolton in the second round, I thought was a really good pick for them. Carnell Powell, the wide receiver from Clemson, getting him in the fifth round, I like that move. So I think the Chiefs, with the combination of free agency and what they were able to do in the draft, even without a first-round pick, I think, to me, they had the best overall offseason. And then I go with Tampa Bay number two. Not so much – I didn't really like Tampa Bay's draft, and we can get into that in a second. But I think just keeping their overall personnel intact was a really big move for them, the Super Bowl-winning team. And, bringing back Shaq Barrett, bringing back Leonard Fournette, bringing back all the key players to the championship team. And that's hard to do, right? You know, we see a lot of times the team wins the Super Bowl, they lose some of their players. But they got everybody back intact. They were just this past week or two, they got Antonio Brown back. The one pick I did like was their first-round pick, Joe Tryon from Washington. He could be a real sleeper in the pass rusher in this league. I didn't grade the rest of it. I gave them an overall C in the draft, but I do like their first-round pick and Joe Tryon and what they did in keeping their own players. Number three, I like what Buffalo's done in the offseason. Darrell Williams, probably one of the best right tackles in the game. They were able to keep him. And then getting Matt Breida and Emmanuel Sanders and get them a couple of extra veteran weapons on their offense. So you got to like what they did. And then from the draft perspective, the first two picks, they got some pass rushers. Gregory Russo, Carlos Basham Jr., at one point was considered a possible first-round pick. Obviously, he fell off a little bit because of his production this past season, but he's still a freakish athlete, right? And so, you know, with the right coaching, you never know what you could possibly get from him. This Spencer Brown, sleeper offensive tackle from Northern Iowa in the third round. Like I said, he got picked in the third round because of his level of competition. He could be a real sleeper and a possible starter in this league. And then another sleeper pick I like for them is Marquise Stevenson, wide receiver from Houston in the sixth round. And he's a speedster. And, you know, like I said, he can stretch the field. Like I said, with the right coaching even there, could be a real steal for the Bills in the sixth round. And then one of JQ's favorite teams, the Ravens. I had them number four, having the fourth best offseason. Kevin Zeitler, getting him in the offensive guard position there on a three-year deal. Even though Sammy Watkins is hurt a lot, giving him another weapon there from the receiver position. Rashad Bateman, I really like that pick in the first round. I didn't so much like the Jason Owai pitch because he's a pick because he's really a tremendous athlete, but he's a project. So that'll be interesting to see how that might turn out. But I like some of their later picks. Ben Cleveland from Georgia in the third round. Tyler Wallace from Oklahoma State in the fourth round. Sean Wade from Ohio State in the fifth round. Even though he had a down year, he's still a guy that's got potential there with the right coaching. And then the Patriots. I had the Patriots with the fifth best offseason. Look at what they've done from all of their free agencies. And then I like what they've done in the draft, too. They let Mac Jones just fall to them. They didn't have to trade up to get
him. Right to him.
And, so, I mean, that was phenomenal. Christian Barmore, again, one of the better defensive tackles in the draft in the second round. Two Alabama guys that start off the draft. And then he went with two Oklahoma guys right after that that I thought were really good picks. Ronnie Perkins needs to get some more size, but he was one of the best pass rushers in college football last year, and he only went in the third round because of the size. Ramondre Stevenson, running back in the fourth round from Oklahoma. This guy's a beast, man. 6 feet, 245 pounds with some speed. And then I like the Joshua Bledsoe pick in the sixth round, safety from Missouri. I thought it was a real sleeper pick, too, for their team. So as far as top five overall off seasons, I thought they had the best five. As far as teams, I gave a perfect A-plus to in the draft. The Denver Broncos, the Carolina Panthers, Cleveland Browns, Pittsburgh Steelers, Chicago Bears, the Bills, Dolphins, Patriots, and the Jets. I all gave A-pluses in the draft.
I knew you couldn't say that for the Falcons. I was waiting for that. What did you think about your team, Bob? We'll let Lou jump in here, too. Go ahead.
I did give the Falcons an A, but not an A+. I did give them
an A. I know you did.
Just,
can't give us an A+.
I'm sure we can get that good.
Just can't give us an A+.
Nobody's running
plus. The only reason I didn't give them an A+ is because I thought they slightly reached on Hall, the cornerback from San Diego State, even though he's got a lot of potential. But that's the only reason I didn't give the Falcons an A+ in the draft.
That's fair. What did you think about the Saints here? I know, you know, what were your thoughts about how your team did, Rob?
Well, you know, I gave the Saints a C, actually. I gave the Saints a C in the draft. And, you know, the Saints have been one of the best drafting teams in the last 7 years. But on the surface, they didn't look like they hit so far. I mean, they have to prove me wrong. Obviously, the Peyton Turner, a lot of my mocks, I had him going in the third round. A guy with a lot of potential, 6'5", 270 pounds, freakish athlete. And I thought he could be a sleeper in the third round. I actually had him pegged to the Bengals in some of my mocks in the third round. I know the Cowboys and the Bengals were reportedly pretty high on him. And, you know, tremendous athlete, got the longest wingspan in draft history, 87-inch wingspan. And so, you know, the Saints will have to prove me wrong on this one. He's obviously got the measurables. And, you know, when the Saints beat the Buccaneers twice last season, what they were able to do with Brady is because they were able to put pass rush on them. And obviously we lost Trey Henderson to the Bengals. I just thought the value wasn't there for him at 28, in my opinion. So, you know, I had to give the Saints a C on that. Then Pete Werner I thought was a slight reach in the second round. I thought I had more of he was another guy I had more of the third round grade. Now, I'll be fair, Ohio State did a poor design, and, you know, you saw in that national championship game, you know, he got caught covering Devontae Smith in the championship game. That was no match at all.
One-on-one.
I don't know what was happening with those defensive schemes, but I had Werner as a third round guy, and we got him in the late second. But the one pick that I did like for the Saints was Paulson Abidu, the cornerback from Stanford. I thought that was a really good pick, and he got potential to come in and play and be a starter right away at third round. Did not like the Ian Book pick at all in the fourth round. I had him anywhere between the fifth and the seventh round, and he took him in the fourth. And, I mean, you got Jameis Winston, you got Taysom Hill, you got Trevor Siemian. You got three quarterbacks that started games in the league, and then you're going to draft Ian Book in the fourth round? I didn't understand that at all.
He's like 50 years old.
So, yeah.
Man, so that's all good.
Yeah, yeah. The Larry Young offensive tackle pick from Kentucky in the sixth round, I thought that was a good pick. And the Baker pick in the seventh round, wide receiver from South Alabama. He's got some potential. Got picked right where he should have been picked. But overall, there's just some value picks. Not to say that these guys won't be good players, but I just didn't like the value, so I had to give them the C.
Nice. Gotcha. Lou, were you happy with what the Jets did?
I am happy. I was a little surprised that their second pick got up a little bit higher. But overall, I am satisfied with our draft picks, and maybe they'll do something this year. But the only thing is that every time that we get somebody that looks good on paper on the draft, the crowd doesn't react to it so well, and of course Thursday was no exception. The crowd was booing when it happened. Like, okay, so what's this going to do for us now? It happens every time. Just when you think something's going to go right, somebody doesn't. People just don't agree. Well, maybe we can prove them wrong though.
Yeah.
This time.
Gotcha.
I mean, I think, you know, Zach has something there that they can do for us.
Okay. I was just curious. Like I said, again, I mean, you know, I know it's definitely have an interesting history. That was a rough last year, and I can kind of imagine the disappointment going into that, knowing that you had the opportunity to possibly get Trevor Lawrence, and, you know, that was kind of like, again, taken away. So, you know, you kind of had to settle for Zach Wilson, but, you know. But, yeah, but just one of those situations. So, you know, again, you're hoping that if the new regime in there, and, you know, it looks like they finally adjust a couple things, getting some weapons for you guys again, which has always been a challenge. And it looks like they did a good job of actually – they thought about Zach Wilson because they literally took some offensive linemen. They did a good job of getting some weapons for him too. So if you think about it, it wasn't like – it appears on the surface, on paper, that they did try to address the needs too, because, again, we're always like, what the hell is wrong with the Jets? And it actually looked like they were trying to get some support for him, if you will, too, as opposed to just kind of like randomly throwing darts on the board and hoping that it actually sticks too. So that's something that I would say from kind of looking. Even Rob showed some love to the Jets, actually giving them an A-plus, if you will, too. So, you know, again, you know, getting Vera Tucker, that was great. Getting, you know, you got your receiver more, you got Michael Carter, you got, you know, so you actually got some thought behind a couple of things too.
Two Michael Carters.
So, you know, Michael Carters,
mm-hmm.
So the safety and the running back. Mm-hmm. So, and then obviously getting the Florida State safety, was it Hashemon Nashadiri, whatever, that was a good pick. So, again, if you're looking at what
that
they
was a good
did,
pick.
It does appear that they kind of had some thought process behind it too. So, good stuff.
I thought the Jets did well. I thought even trading up to get Elijah Vera Tucker, I thought that was a really good move.
Good move.
He probably can play guard in the league, but he can play some tackle as well in the pinch. And so I thought it was a really good move. And then getting Elijah Moore in the second round, I think he might potentially be one of the better wide receivers in this draft. He's got blazing speed, good hands. I think it gives Zach Wilson a good weapon. And we talked about him, Michael Carter. He's going to get some carries right away because the Jets don't really have a, you know, a true number one running back on that team right now. So he could definitely get some carries right away. And the safety from Florida State, Hamza, I thought that was a really good pickup in the sixth round. He potentially come to help that team too. So I really like what the Jets did in the draft.
That's a little higher. That's a good call, too. So, and actually, I kind of like what the Chargers did, too. The Chargers, you know, obviously getting Rashawn Slater at number 13, that was a really good pickup. Getting Asante Samuel Jr. was kind of like a slight – I was like, wow, he was still there. And then, you know, they definitely addressed a couple of needs, getting, you know, Josh Palmer, getting your tight end to replace Hunter Henry. So, you know, it's kind of a – it was a good draft for the Chargers. I thought they did really well in their pick, too, so kind of helping Justin Herbert as well, too. So, you know, that was kind of a good pickup for them, too. And as much as I hate the Packers and what they're doing – go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I give the Chargers A-, and I like the Slater and the Samuel picks. I thought those were really good picks. Josh Palmer from Tennessee, I thought was a reach at round three, and that was probably the one knock I gave them on the draft. But I really like Trey McKitty, tight end from Georgia, and Chris Rumpke, head coach from Duke. And Brandon James, offensive lineman from Nebraska. I think it gives them some depth there in the fifth round. So Larry Roundtree, running back from Missouri, the sixth round. And overall, I like their draft, too. I gave them an A-, more so for the Josh Palmer pick in the third round.
Yeah, right. Couple picks, too, like I said. So it's
but nobody's
like
worthy of an A-plus.
He gets some A-pluses out there. But I think it's interesting, too. And, you know, like, so there's a couple squads like you talked about. You're like, man, you know. And, again, just to kind of talk about my squad, if you will, too. And like I said, again, I think – From what we kind of had the rumors that we were going to go with Kyle Pitts, and that actually happened. So, again, getting that was a great take because instead of going with, you know, the third best quarterback or the fourth best quarterback, they went with the best player at the time. That was a great pick. Richie Grant was amazing. Again, we were kind of caught off guard with Jalen Mayfield, if you will, as you talked about. But from seeing his, write-up, you actually see him come in and actually compete for that. And everyone else, like you said, it seemed like
a
very
good pick in the third
draft
round
as well. Great pick. Like I said, he was the one that actually was able to handle Chase Young from what we're hearing. So that's actually pretty interesting. We're not sure if he's going to stay at tackle or move to left guard. So we'll see how that plays out. I'm with you, Rob, on Darren Hall because, you know, maybe again, you know, it looks like he's got like a lot of aggressive ball hawking, if you will, cornerbacks with him. Avery Williams, he's kind of a small guy, but he's definitely a, you know, special teams player. So you're like, wow, okay, let's see what he does. And Darby was a steal, too. I know he's, like, you know, six-round pick, so that was good. And then, you know, getting some more defensive tackle out, too. So we're kind of sitting back like, huh, all right, you know, we're not sure what to think, but very happy with the way that the draft, because it looks like we got exactly some good needs and some good picks for that, too. So that's what I would say for that, too. So, gentlemen, I know we've been kind of talking a lot about that, if you will, too. So, Rob, I guess it's weird because we can kind of, I know we got to have a hard stop right at 12 so we can let the JQ talk about some stuff too. So I don't know if you want to talk about, you know, some draft classes from each division, if you will, because we can't get into all of the talk. So I guess I want to leave it up for you guys so we can talk about some draft classes or we can talk about some top fits, the top fits you thought or the worst fits, if you will, some questionable stuff, if you will, so kind of on you guys, too. So it's kind of a good way for us to kind of at least fit some time in for a lot of topics tonight, too. So let's go with you, with you, JQ, and kind of get your thoughts on that as well, too, if you will.
I was looking at, you know, those quarterbacks, right? So we know Trevor Lawrence is starting day one.
Yes.
There's no doubt about that. I believe Zach is also going to start for the Jets at two. Get interested in three. I don't think you start Trey Lance right away. I think you start Jimmy Garoppolo, unless somebody blows you away with a trade. When he plays, he's not bad. I think you let Trey Lance learn, and you let Garoppolo play, and then you figure out as it goes whether he gets hurt or if he's got shy to play. Then you make that decision. Then maybe you know how teams like to do after a bye week. So it depends on when their bye comes up. But he hasn't been terrible when Garoppolo's healthy and been playing. The problem is he can't stay healthy. So I guess moving up to Trey Lance, but Justin, you give Garoppolo that chance. Maybe he's auditioning, you know. So for me, I think you start with Garoppolo, then you move to Lance. If you're the Bears, I hate to throw Justin into that mix, but if Aaron Rodgers isn't in Green Bay or he's unhappy, and you see Kirk Cousins do Kirk Cousins things, and they've also got a quarterback earlier than I thought they were going to get in this draft. I think you owe it to that those dudes on defense to give yourself every chance to win the game. And that may be just going with Justin Fields and his athleticism where he can make a play with no play is there where Andy Dalton's going to get sacked. So in that instance, I think you got to let Andy Dalton play because he's got a defense behind him that can help maybe make up for some of his mistakes. But he can bail them out of a lot of situations too as well. And then I think the same thing necessarily happens in New England. You're going to give Cam an opportunity unless Matt just comes in and just beats the brakes off of him in preseason. I think they're going to start with Cam, but they can't fall too far behind in that division because you got Buffalo, you know, in that division, and you got Miami looking a whole lot better in that division as well. So I think you kind of let Cam do his thing for at least initially, and then you make that change if it just becomes apparent you've got to play Matt Jones.
What say you, Curtis? Gerter, what say you about that? Some moves you thought, some good fits, bad fits, whatever. But.
You know, on the quarterback thing, I think Jimmy Garoppolo is going to start. He's going to start and he's going to play till he gets hurt or, you know, till he messes up. If he's in there, he should do all right, but he's fragile. As far as the Patriots go, I do think that Cam's gonna start the season, but you know, like was mentioned earlier, you know, with the other two teams in the division, you know, Miami and Buffalo, I think he's on a short leash there with that. As far as the Bears, if I were the Bears.
Wow, Bears.
I'd go with the rookie. I would go with the rookie because he's gonna have the best shot. I mean, he hasn't even played a preseason game or anything like that, and I would still go with him. I would start him right off the bat. Give him a chance. Give the Bears a chance.
Man. That dude got like nine lives back because that dude, and I messed up and sent you a picture of what they said that Andy Dalton was QB number one. You talk about somebody that's trying to make up for lost time and skipping Patrick Mahomes and drafting Mitchell Trubisky. Just this dude has been like, so he is like, luckily that he had Justin Fields. Somehow, I was secretly hoping the Falcons would trade back in to get Justin Fields, but again, like you said, JQ, it's just interesting how it's going to happen with that situation too. And I think, you know, for the Bears fans, it actually kind of brought some kind of like, just kind of life back to that franchise too. So, you know, again, it's kind of unique how that actually happened too. So you talk about kind of a situation where the perfect storm happened and they're like, oh, let's make this move, man. So again, just an interesting move for the Bears. Curtis, you have anything else to add on that really quickly, sir?
Well, I just want to say one thing that we need to celebrate about football. And I asked my wife friend that came in, when you saw the draft, what did you think? What is the dominant athlete in football? And I saw this in the 60s. And this is what drove me to football. I saw the dominant athlete in football being the black athlete.
Yep.
So what I want to say to all those athletes that are maybe taking their families out of the ghetto and having generational wealth. I want to celebrate that. And I want to celebrate us, Black Lives Matter. And in football, in the entertainment level of it, you see it. You don't see it in the ownership, and we're not seeing it enough in the coaching. But in the entertainment part of it, you see it. And the one thing that I want to talk about is Detroit looks like they made a lot of good moves, but I look at that coach at Detroit, and all I see is Connors.
Watch kneecaps. Watch kneecaps.
Yeah. Why is he conning the old thing? He's going to have to prove to me that he's some kind of football coach. Because I don't see
that was a great pick. Nice Newell. That's a great pick right there. Of course, I couldn't mess that one up, getting Nate Newell right there at number 7. That just had to happen. So you talked about the situation just kind of always kind of felt like, hey, they're like all slapping hands. Like, yeah, like, dude, that was the best player. You might as well take him right there at number 7. You could mess that one up, but I
no brainer.
I could, but But good stuff. Hey, Rob, what about you? Any thoughts as far as, like, kind of worst fits, good fits, you know, little things like that? What's the you on as far as that?
I'll talk about the quarterbacks, and I'll talk about the good fits and a few bad fits here from the draft. But on the quarterback piece, I'll start with the 49ers. Totally agree with Gary and JQ on this one. I think Jimmy Garoppolo, I think it's going to be similar to what you saw with the Chiefs when they drafted Patrick Mahomes, right? They sat him the whole first year. They let Alex Smith start. And I think you're going to see the same thing with the 49ers here. I think Garoppolo is going to be the starter this entire season. You got to remember, Trey Lance did not play a lot of college football, right? Maybe 17 games. His potential is through the roof. And I actually give the 49ers kudos for taking Trey Lance. I thought Mac Jones was the fifth best quarterback in this draft. But I give them kudos for taking Trey Lance. But that being said, I think this is going to be a similar situation to what you see that the Chiefs did with Mahomes. They're going to sit him this entire season. If Garoppolo stays healthy, that's a big if. Garoppolo will be the starter. And,
they were
Lance
thinking hard about
Lance
Mac Jones, though. Seriously. They were thinking hard about Mac Jones.
Yeah.
So you talk about some, like, pushback.
I know.
They were like, whoa. So go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off, but go ahead.
Yeah. But obviously, and there were some teams that were interested in moving up to trade up to get Mac Jones ahead of the Patriots, but they thought the price was too high, obviously.
Yeah.
But I think the 49ers made the right pick. And I don't like the 49ers, but, you know, I thought they made the right pick. And Garoppolo, I think, will be the starter this year. They're going to treat him just like Patrick Mahomes and then look for a start of year two for Trey Lance to be the starter. Then the other two situations, the Bears and the Patriots, I think what you're going to see in both of those situations, you're going to see the veterans start the season, Andy Dalton and Cam Newton. But I don't expect them to finish the season as a starting quarterback. I think at some point in the season, Justin Fields takes over in Chicago and Mac Jones takes over in New England. I think you're going to see that happen in both cases. But I do think in 49ers, I expect Garoppolo to be the starter throughout and Trey Lance starts year two. So that's the kind of way I envision those quarterback scenarios working out. But, you know, we'll wait and see how it goes, right? As far as, you know, good fits in a draft, I thought it was really curious how this kind of played out in the draft. Number one, Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne on the same team in Jacksonville. From a chemistry standpoint, you know, you're helping those two individuals out right away, right? You're giving them a piece that they're familiar with. They go into that organization together. And it was four situations like that. Cincinnati, Joe Burrow, and Jamar Chase, same situation. You're giving Chase moving into a whole different state, new city, but he's got a familiar face there in Joe Burrow, right? And Thaddeus Moss and Tyler Shelvin too. So you put them in. You're giving them an opportunity to succeed, right? And then Tua, you give him Jalen Waddle and
Waddle.
You're giving Waddle a familiar piece. You're giving Tua a familiar piece. And then Philadelphia, Jalen Hurts and Devontae Smith. Even though Jalen played his last year in Oklahoma, he's familiar with Devonta Smith, and so Devontae is familiar with Jalen Hurts. So I think those, to me, are four obvious good fits just because of the continuity that those players are going to have together from day one. And so, I mean, that's going to be great for those organizations. Then I had to give one defensive good fit, right? And I like Brian Flores and Jalen Phillips in Miami. Phillips has the potential to be the best pass rusher in this draft. And I think with the coaching from Flores and what he's been able to do with that defense in Miami, I really like that fit as well. So if you look at Miami, they got two good fits here. I mean, with Tua and Jalen. And Brian Flores and Jalen Phillips in my eyes. So, I mean, they're going to be a team as Tua continues to grow. They're going to be a team to reckon with, you know, going forward. They got a lot of talent that they're putting together on that football team. Bad fits, I thought the Rams, I didn't necessarily, they were one of the teams I graded the lowest in the draft. And the 2-2 Atwell pick, I was, you know, blown away by that pick by the Rams and several of the other picks in that draft. I already talked about the Saints and Ian Book. I thought that, to me, is a bad pick. But, you know, we'll see how that goes.
Sean Payton.
I thought Alex Leatherwood and the Raiders, another bad fit, a reach pick as well.
Plug and play.
And then Jason O'Wow with the Ravens. The Ravens don't usually take these kind of players. They usually take players that are ready to come into play, and this is a project. Even though he's a tremendous athlete, he's going to take a lot of coaching. And, I think you may have saw 0-1 of sacks in his last season. Even though he's a tremendous athlete, you saw no production on the football field at all. And so to me, I thought that's one of the situations that could be a bad fit as well.
Yeah, I was shocked by that, the 2-2 pick. I was like, they already got Coops and Robert Woods. Let's pick up for Robert Woods. Why would they go do that? I didn't quite understand that. But I know Matthew Stafford was probably happy.
People are drafting more talent, if you will, too. So, there's a couple picks I know, like Mike Mack pretty much said, I don't really care what y'all think. That's pretty much what he was saying whenever I was watching the interview about Alex Leatherwood, because he was basically saying it kind of fit what they were looking for. And he was like, you know, he got a call from some GMs and said he's a plug-and-play starter. He's like, that's all you look for. So he was pretty much resolute in his convictions. And he's like, this is what's happening in the building. You know, Tom Cable was giving him high fives. So, again, you're like, all right, you know, so we're not in the building. Mm-hmm. So it couldn't seem like a bad pick, but he was, like you said, he was like, I'm all in. So you're like, yeah, well, at least he has
a. How about the greatest draft room celebration, the Detroit Lions, when Fene Sewell fell in?
Absolutely.
I mean, those guys
were
all
berserk in
their draft
room.
Yeah.
They're
like, yeah, like they thought they made a draft in the Hall of Fame. Which, I mean, who knows? You don't know,
yeah,
right?
Guys,
you have a couple of years.
Those guys are going ballistic in that draft room.
That's a no-brainer for them. I mean, I get it for them. I mean, they could have tried to reach for the wide receiver right there. But when you start getting, you know, those meatheads in charge, you know, those linebackers and those old offensive tackles and defensive tackles, that's what they are. They're like, okay. And if you want to be honest, Andy Reid used to do a lot of that in Philadelphia. They would always draft an offensive lineman and a defensive lineman. They would always start on those lines and they kind of work their way out. And there's something to be said for that philosophy. They'll see if that works in Detroit. But if that dude hit, you got a left tackle for the next 10, 12 years. I mean, they went nuts. That's everybody's first one. So, of course, you know, they're a little
Yeah. Hey, you look at Sean Payton and the Saints. The last 7 years, the Saints have either taken an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman in the first two rounds of the draft. I mean, that's, you think of Sean Payton and think of high-powered offenses, but he always draft linemen early. Did the same thing this year, draft a defensive lineman in the first round. Seven straight drafts, the Saints have drafted the offensive, defensive linemen in round one or two.
Yeah.
That's where you beat your one in the trenches.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of things to kind of talk about that too, because like you said, I mean, you know, they weren't sure. I mean, again, there was probably some 75%, you know, percent, you know, that the Bengals are going to go with, you know, obviously Ja'Marr Chase, but they didn't know what was going to happen. So he fell in their lap. So they're like, yeah, you know, because like, again, they weren't probably sure what that was, the one pick that they were thinking that was going to be a challenge, if you will. But like you said, it fell to them and all you had to do was make the pick, man. So it's all good. Were there any surprises for you, Rob, as far as, you know, J.C. Horn going as high as he did to Carolina at number 8? Anything like that, you think, or what else would you have for that?
You know, I gave Carolina an A-plus in the draft, and I like the J.C. Horn pick. The guy's a physical corner. Did I think he maybe went maybe a few picks higher than I thought he was? Yes, but I feel, you know, I don't have that big of a problem with the pick. He had, you know, as far as his pro day workouts and everything, and then you turn on the film, he was phenomenal. Physical corner, a good athlete. You know, you could make a case for him or Patrick Surtain. And really, you know, watching the film, Caleb Farley is right up there too, but, you know, that back injury dropped him down.
Back injury, right.
And, that back surgery dropped him down some. But, you know, yeah, J.C. Horn, I gave Carolina an A-plus in the draft overall. I like the Terrence Marshall Jr. pick in the second round. I thought they hit on just about every single pick and got great value on every single pick in the draft.
I
gave them the highest draft grade in our division, as much as I hate to say it.
That's good.
You know, I was crazy. I was shocked that Minnesota – was able to move back and still get Dillshaw that far back in the towards they moved back, I think, to 20.
That was a good move.
If you make that trade and be able to move back and still get your guys, because a lot of people had them going to them when they were seeing their pass. So when they did that, I was like, you can't play that any better in the first round than Minnesota just did to get the guy that everybody expected to see you, but 6 or 7 picks later after you move back and then still got the pick to the capital.
As much as you hate the Steelers, JQ, I was going to say a good fit was getting Najee Harris. I was like, man, that's like a perfect back for them. If you are like, man, you know, again, I was hoping that he was going to follow the Falcons again, but I'm like, you can't be mad because it was like they needed a running back and they're running him obviously separate. So you talk about a perfect fit right there that they had Najee Harris just kind of drop the phone right in their lap and they ended up getting him too. So, you know, they've been looking for a place for Le'Veon Bell. That's just like a perfect fit right there too. And, what a great dude, really quickly. I'll let you talk more about that, Rob, because, again, Najee Harris, apparently his family lived in homeless shelters.
Yep.
So instead of having this massive party, he had,
his draft
party at a homeless shelter, which that's just great, man. What a great dude, man. So, you know, you talk about a number one fan of him, man. So that's just great to hear.
Yeah.
You definitely get it, right? You know, so go ahead, Rob.
Yeah. You took the words right out of my mouth, Andre. I was getting ready to share that same story. And actually, my wife brought that to my attention. And phenomenal story from Najee Harris having his draft party at a homeless shelter that he actually lived in at one point growing up. And what he did and went back and gave back to that community. That's a phenomenal story. I'm not an Alabama fan, and I know JQ is not a Steelers fan. But you have to tip your hat to that young man and his humility, and you know, just hope that he remains humble like that. For a phenomenal story, and unfortunately, you didn't hear enough about it watching the draft. That was an outstanding story from in regards to Najee Harris. He'd be a harder kid to root against, that's for sure.
I'm with you. Got 2 minutes, gentlemen, so I'm going to let Curtis and Gary wrap it up, and we're going to do a hard stop at 12 to let JQ get back to work, too. So, Curtis, Gary, you guys can have that last moment before we get ready to wrap this up, if you will. So go ahead, gentlemen.
Well, two things. You know, we got a battle in the NBA here with the Lakers coming up. It's going to be an important game. Looking forward to that one. Or not. We'll see. Because I think it's going to be a good game.
LeBron ain't gonna play.
I do want to say that my pick for if Magic Johnson is the gold standard as point guard, I would put Oscar Robertson at number two.
Yeah,
that would be my number two. Curtis, what do you got to say?
You know, Magic Johnson is my favorite NBA player of all time. No doubt about it. But as a kid, you know, I always looked up to Elgin Pearl Monroe. I don't know if he was a point guard. Elgin Pearl Monroe. He captured my imagination of everything basketball was about. And as a child, he brought me to the game. And he brought me to the game in imagination and style. So I'm even if not the one of the old timers. But I told Gary, I know what Red are about this team. And I know they won 13 out of 14 championships. But I couldn't tell you I saw just the last fight for them. And I didn't see the whole run of when they were good.
Here's the music.
All right, well, Andre's got the closing music all queued up. We thank you all for tuning in to another great edition of the Talking Sports with the 12th Man on tonight. If we won't have an OT portion on tonight, we're going to be back at you on next Tuesday night, a week from tonight, May 11th, 11 p.m. Eastern Time for our friends at the East Coast, New York, Philly, D.C., stand up, 10 p.m. in Chicago next week, 9 p.m. in Albuquerque, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time in the beautiful city of Fresno, California. So definitely tune into it on next week. And that was JQ that called y'all Jackson, Mississippi of the West. Thank you all.
Paul.
See you next week. Hey, Cinco de Mayo tomorrow. Everybody have a good time. Salsa and chips, margaritas all around. Have fun, everybody. Good night, people.
Be safe. Absolutely. I'll be safe. I'll holler
at y'all. Go Yankees, baby.
Good, gentlemen.
Shout out
we
to
turning it around.
Robin Johnson, Hall of Famer. Let's do it. Gentlemen, have a great rest of your week. We'll talk to you soon, fellas.
All right, y'all.
Good night, people.